Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All five of you. This is unique for sure and a blessing in disguise. And it is a bittersweet day, but we'll get to that at the end. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. And the Word of God says this morning, "But now thus saith the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." In the living Word of God, it is mentioned over 360 times to do not fear in some form or fashion. It says, do not fear, do not be afraid, do not be anxious, do not worry. Fear is a strong mechanism that Satan uses that decreases our hope, it limits our victories, it brings some sort of doubt in things that we know that are certain. Fear paralyzes you spiritually, making you immobilized. Fear produces pain when there is no hurt. Fear sees obstacles and not opportunities. Fear is a magnet that attracts everything opposite of what God is trying to do and what God wants to do in your life. When you enter into a life of fear, you attract the things that you hate. Now, this morning, I'm going to try to relate a couple of those fears that I have tried to bring to light, because if we never face our fear, we're never going to get through it. You can't tackle it. You can't remove it. So hopefully this morning when I mention some of these things, that it's in your life. And I hope they're not, because some of these are very hurtful and painful. But let's see if any of these get to you this morning. Moving to a new place with a new job, with your house not on the market, no place to go yet, and you have to be there in less than 4 weeks. Sounds a little bit like my worry currently. Maybe you're a young person and you're about to go to college, you're about to leave mom and dad's house, and some of their finances are not going with you. Leaving your friends from high school, or you're moving to start a new life. Maybe you're a young person who fell in love and found out he or she is a dirtbag, and your heart is broken, and you're sitting there thinking, does love even exist? Maybe you're having trouble getting pregnant, or maybe you're having a complication with your current pregnancy. Maybe you're a single mom with kids, and you're cooking, and you're cleaning, and you're doing baths, and you're doing laundry. You're trying to do homework and activities with your kids. You're trying to figure out how to train them in school when they can't go because of COVID, of shutdowns. And you're having to work to pay the bills. What are you going to do with them to keep them fed? And at some point, you got to catch a couple hours of sleep before you hit the repeat button again tomorrow. Many of you are hurting with finances. Can't afford your medications. Worried about if you're going to get your light bill paid this month. What groceries do you choose in order to keep yourself fed? Am I going to lose my car? How am I going to replace this tire that just went flat? Maybe you found out the cancer's back. And you remember the first time it was brutal and painful and lonely. Maybe you just lost a mom or dad, a sister or brother, God forbid a child, maybe a best friend. Maybe you're worrying ahead of time that your family's going to be in a car accident. Maybe you're going through some marital issues. Maybe you're fighting and cursing at each other, sleeping apart at night. Some of you may be suffering from extreme addictions, catching yourself every now and then with a needle in your arm, popping too many pain medications, drowning at the bottom of a bottle. Maybe you're addicted to things on the internet that you should be watching, like pornography, amongst other worse things. Maybe you're addicted to yourself and vanity. Maybe you're going through a time like the afternoon of a spring day in 2015 where you're driving home from work. You don't feel a thing. Why am I empty? Why is life holding me underwater, not letting me to the surface? Depression. If life is going to be this bad, why waste another day? Why go on? Why not take that wheel and veer into oncoming traffic? That was a tough day. I know the guy, and I'm glad he didn't do it. Maybe you're struggling with yourself. Maybe you're far too overweight. Maybe you're having thyroid problems. Maybe when you look in the mirror, you're not happy, and that builds up frustration and anxiety. Maybe you're alone. Somebody in this congregation, somebody listening today, we're all going through one of those things where you know somebody who is. So whatever you're going through, whatever storm is in your life, we are all sailing across the sea of life. And some of you are in a great storm right now. God didn't promise smooth sailing, but he did promise that we would get through it and land on the other side. What can we learn from chaos? What can we do to survive the coming storm? What can we do when we're feeling like we're going under? When chaos reigns and fear grabs you by the throat and tries to drown you? What to do? Chaos doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Chaos doesn't mean that God is angry with you, that he doesn't love you, that he has rejected you. Listen, chaos doesn't mean if you were in the perfect will of God right now, you wouldn't be going through the storm you're going through. Chaos is a normal part of living life. It's a part of life. Struggle is the essence of growth and development. A mighty oak tree starts out as a seed in the soil, and it grows and fights its way up simply to battle the heavy winds, the rain, the snows, the blazing sun. And it endures these things and this adversity year after year after year until it becomes a magnificent and beautiful oak tree. Because it's only in the storm that your faith can grow. Only when your faith is tested by fire do you really know how pure your faith is. Only when you discover in the storm that God has the power to deliver you. Only in the storm do you call upon the Lord to find him the ever-present help in time of trouble. The storm develops your confidence. Listen to this. God sent David a lion to whip first. Then he sent him a bear to defeat before he sent the giant. God has you fighting the fight that you're fighting right now because it is designed to develop your confidence. And when you win this one, then there's going to be a bigger fight coming, and you're going to have the confidence from your past victory to win the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one after that. Because God is transforming you. Because God doesn't answer instantly doesn't mean God isn't going to answer. God's delays are not God's denials. God is doing things in your life right now that you do not see, that you do not feel, and that you don't understand. He is trying to develop you into the character of endurance. God puts you through a struggle to develop you into who He wants you to be in the kingdom. God used no one until He put them through the university of adversity. He is making a champion out of you. Listen to me, church. If you focus on the threat, you will experience fear. But if you focus on Jesus, then you experience faith. When you go through the struggle, when you go through adversity, think about the possibility that God is using your struggle and your adversity. Worry is trust in the unpleasant. Worry is the assurance that disaster is coming. Worry is believing in your personal defeat and despair. Worry is a polluted stream that flows through your brain that drowns hope and optimism, and it kills faith. Business people, listen to this. Worry is interest paid on trouble that never happens. Think on that. Worry is interest paid on trouble that never happens. I read this quote one time, or heard it. An old man once said, most of my trouble I've never in life had happen. How many of you have sat there and worried yourself silly about something you knew it was going to be disastrous and it never even came about? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 that God wants you to cast all those cares on Him because He cares for you. Worry sees the problem. It doesn't see God. It's not wrong to actually see the problem. In fact, we need to look our problems square up. We need to tell them where they stand in relation to God. Worry sees the problem, but faith sees the God who can deal with the problem. Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop looking at the opportunity. Or start looking at the opportunity. The things you trust in today will fail you tomorrow. People will fail you. How many brides and grooms have walked down the aisle at the chapel, stood before God, made a covenant, and put all their faith into another person for them to turn right around, break that covenant, and break your heart? All of us are probably shouting inside of whatever your problem is going on, how painful, how chaotic. What oceans of anger flood the soul when stuff like this happens? All these lists of things earlier I talked about. You may be thinking, what madness is going on here? Where is God to allow something like this to happen? You may be thinking, there's no answer for me. Listen. God's thought of 1,000 answers you would never even imagine thinking of. And it's not the end of the world. Because in time, your heart will heal. You will sing again. The sun will shine again. You will love again. Fear not sickness. Because the word of a God is about the great physician. Fear not poverty, for it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. Fear not people, because the Bible says God will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I'm going to be real with you, church, and I wish you were all here in person so I could stare you in the eyes for a second, and I want to act like I am. Y'all know where you sit. Diane, Benjamin, Bill, Danny. David's usually up there. Do you know what fear does? It prevents you from praising God with all that you got. It prevents you from singing your loudest because you're worried about what your neighbor is thinking about your worship, not what about you're thinking about your worship to your God. It's a confession on my part, even as a song leader, because of one incident in my life, I have not given you my best up here. I was told to pipe down. I was bothering somebody's worship one time, not at this building. And I've never been able to give 100% sitting in the pew or singing up here. I haven't given you my highest note, my lowest note, my best, because I've let somebody into my heart and I pushed God out. Fear prevents you from praying your hardest and your deepest. Fear, worry, and being afraid prevents you from listening to the message to the fullest. Fear prevents you from proclaiming who is the greatest. I stand in front of you guilty of all these, because I am human and I allow fear to creep in. My fear has changed over the years. I, at some point, thought that dying young was my biggest fear. And then it was, am I ever going to, find someone, or am I going to be alone my entire life? Then it led into, did I live a solid life? Am I leaving a good legacy behind? Did I make an impression in all those around me? Did I change somebody's life? But something I heard changed my mindset a couple of years ago, and I've kind of adopted this idea. My fear that I'm not supposed to have is that I die, I get to the gates, Jesus is running to embrace me. I love you, my child. I'm so glad you're here. But there's one thing I got to show you before I let you in. One more trial and tribulation. Come over here with me, my son. I want you to meet somebody. This is the man that I designed you to be. And my fear is that I don't recognize him. What a scary thought. God knows you're not going to be perfect. Heard a great lesson at Carnes one time about if you don't stick to plan A, God's going to work out a plan B for you. But could you imagine that God said, you could have been here even through all your troubles, but you don't even recognize that guy. But thank God for grace. Fear not your past. It has been pardoned. Fear not your present, because it is powerful. Fear not your future, because it is promised. Church, don't forget where we're getting to go. The Lamb of God is the light. There's no fear, no pain, nor dying, or suffering, or anxiety, or depression. We're going to be in the ultimate presence of God Almighty with Jesus Christ, getting overwhelmed and overflown with the Holy Spirit running through our veins and our brains. Give Him praise this morning in the house of God. Emmanuel, God is with us. And He is in us. And a crucial point I don't think we make is that God is not just with us and in us, but He is for us. Someone needs to hear that today, that God is for you. No, He knows what you've done. He knows who you are. He still wants to know you. He's not sitting up there saying, I'm against you. Stop thinking I'm trying to get back at you for all the times you feared and you turned the other cheek on me. You disobeyed me. That the fact that I sent my son to die for you because you couldn't get it right. I am with you, I am in you, and I am for you. And if God is for us, who cares who's against us? God can do more than we can believe, more than we can imagine. But at some point, we've got to get rid of that spirit of fear in us. You need to go and grab it and say, honey, open the door. Shove it. Kick it. Point at it. Slam the door in its face. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your marriage. Get it out of the relationship with your children. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your heart. It's eating us alive. It will consume you. You cannot have both fear and faith. I'm going to put this kind of bluntly, and we can agree to disagree. There are commandments out there that God says a lot and repeats them over and over again, and I believe him when he says it. There's a couple of the commandments that he says just a couple of times, and I believe him when he says those. He's told us over 360 times in the Bible in some form or fashion to do not fear, to not be afraid, to do not be anxious, and do not worry. And if you do any of those, that is sin. You're disobeying God. Because you're virtually saying, he ain't powerful enough. He ain't great enough. Here's the awesome thing about God. And his Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation is going to come your way that you can't handle, because God is faithful. He's going to give you the strength to get through everything. And when you're not at the level that you should have been at this fight, and you're worried and you're scared and you're not giving him the power to work in you, he's giving you a way of escape to maybe come back to this again when you're ready. So when the waves are crashing on you and you can't go over the top of them, you can't go under them, you can't go through them, or when your situation is burning like a wildfire in your mind and you're confused and scared and you're about to throw in the towel, remember that God is greater than any problem you have. He's greater than the depression. He's greater than the cancer. He's greater than your addiction. He's greater than your worry, your anxiety, your fearfulness. Oftentimes we say with our mouths that we are depending on God. But what we're saying with our actions, we really don't believe that God is going to come through. So we're going to worry and have a backup plan just in case the Creator and all-powerful God doesn't. You know why we spend most of our time tired and worrying and fear? Because we're over here building our kingdom. Our kingdom. You're trying to soup up the walls and the floors with decor and try to make it all looking good in your comfortable spot when there's a better kingdom already made for you. With better people. Better room. And you're down here trying to work out the problems yourself when you got a God who's sitting there the entire time who's for you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard this story so many times, especially growing up, where they were willing to follow God no matter what. They told the king that God was powerful enough to save them through the fire. God was more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar. They also said if God didn't save them from the fire, they would not disobey God. See, we get this idea that God is some old white-haired grandpa sitting in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth on the front porch, whittling away, hoping for the best for us. God looked down on these three men, and he saw faith. He saw courage. He saw commitment, regardless of the answer. He was in their heart, so they were willing to do the right thing. He was for them, rooting them on. And when it came time, he stood with them, the Son of Man, the fourth one that they didn't throw in there. So when they were put into the fire, they were not burned. And the flame did not consume them. Because God showed up for his faithful. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Listen to the promises. When you're walking through life, listen to the promise he's given you. Again, he's not saying we're smooth sailing. He said, I'm going to be with you. Where do you go when the storms of life are greater than what you can endure? When the storms are great, when the wind and the waves are crashing on your dreams and you're going through this water, where do you go? You go to the one who controls the wind and the waves. His name is Jesus. He is the rock. He is the Savior. He is with you and in you and for you. You are a child of the Most High, an ambassador of Christ. You are a champion. You are somebody. He never promised smooth sailing, but he did send his son. And he did make a promise that we could reach the other side, that golden shore of peace. In Maryville, God is present here. When I walked through those doors 4.5 years ago, my life changed. You know, I've experienced a lot of the fears on that list earlier. One I'm not proud of, but I made a good decision that day. The end of that story was I went on a mission trip a couple months after that, and one of the youth from Carnes walked up to me while I was staring out into the ocean, conveniently for this lesson, and came up to me and he hugged me. And he said, a lot of them are afraid to come over and tell you, but they really appreciate what you do. They love your song leading. They love who you are. And you just make them feel good. And about a year and a half of pain, or no pain, and emptiness went away. Like that. The discipleship group that I was in here, with the men, man, that put me on fire, made me a warrior for the Lord. Women and men, if you haven't got into one of those smaller groups, I know you got to do it a little differently. Zoom it, Microsoft Teams it, whatever it may be. Those relationships are still there. People still need to see your face, hear your voice. I fell in love with you all. I found my amazing, beautiful wife here. I became a father of 3 girls here. I have turned around multiple times to figure out what was poking me, and I looked down and it was Diane waving her finger at me, and I had to look down. I'm going to miss those days. You know, attended funerals, singing people, souls to paradise. You've put me to work here. You let me sing and lead singing. My favorite thing to do. You allowed me to teach classes. And now you let me to finish my journey here for this time being by doing something I've always wanted to do and speak on Sunday morning. My family has a great opportunity ahead of us. God shut a door last year that I went through a turmoil with myself. I didn't really do it on the outside, but I fought some demons on the inside, trying to figure out why not the timing. Why, God? Something I'm doing wrong? Do I need to change professions? Do I need to do something different? Am I not doing something right? Just to find out that a better door was waiting for me. Just be patient, my child. Me and Kimberly and the girls love y'all so much. And it's been a blessing, to say the least, to be a part of this congregation. We're not leaving our congregation empty-handed, and we're going to do our best to continue to support the work here. And y'all have been an absolute blessing. It's time for us to let go and let God in our journey. Hope to return one day. If I don't get to see you again in this life, I'm going to embrace you on the other side.